All right. Bid everyone a good evening. Good to be with the brethren. Good again, as I mentioned this morning, to be with Jonathan and Emily. This may be one of their final times here, at least maybe a while before they come back, as they're trying to visit other congregations in their area a couple hours away. It took them 2 hours to get here today, and so we appreciate that effort. Good to be with them, and they sure mean a lot to us and will continue to mean a lot to us. And just pray that God will be with them wherever they may go. But we know that grandparents are nearby, so we'll get to see them from time to time. That's a good thing. Well, the lesson tonight, we might say primarily is going to address some of the younger folks in the crowd. You know, all good things must come to an end, and that's certainly true when it comes to summer vacation. You know, it doesn't last forever. All the sleeping in, horsing around, watching TV, playing video games, all that kind of comes to a close as this coming week, the new school season starts. And so I thought I'd do a lesson I did every few years, back to school. What would God want me to remember? There's times where you do lessons that address married people, and there's times you do lessons that might address single people, and there's times you do lessons that address students. There's just different people, different stages in the audience, and all need to hear scripture that would apply to their particular situations. And so that's what this is going to do tonight, dealing with our students. What would God have you to remember going into this new year? We are blessed to have children here, different ages, different stages. God's been good to us here for sure. Have we been good to God? And I'm addressing us parents now as stewards of these blessings of God. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." These are little blessings from God, and they grow up, and they're not so little as time goes on. But as they do, and as they mature, and as they grow, they need to think about, for example, Jesus. When he was a child, and he was growing, the Bible says that Jesus grew in favor with God and with man as well. And so we have to learn to develop just simply as human beings that exist within a society and culture. That's what Jesus did as he grew in favor with God and men. So children, have you been doing this? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I chuckle because sometimes my kids, they don't like me calling them children, you know. They say, you got to call us kids. That's the appropriate term today. And yet the Bible does address children. Children obey your parents and the Lord, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, there in verse 9, what do we see the wise man say about this? In Ecclesiastes 11, 9, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment." So it's a very important thing before God. Think about your childhood, think about your youth, enjoy it, but understand it's not the end goal. Verse 10 says, "Therefore remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." It's grasping for the wind. You can't just hold on to it. It fades away. So chapter 12, 1 starts, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Remember now your Creator. So will you seek to serve God even as you go to school this coming year? So I'd like to share 5 principles that I believe that will help us to do that very thing and be pleasing to God. And going through this study, you'll see if you find yourself at a different stage of life, you're at work, for example. These 5 principles will also work for you there as well. So the first principle is obvious, right? Work hard. That's something that God would expect of us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, there he says, "If a man shall not work, neither shall he eat." For young people, their work right now at this stage is their school. That's where they need to apply themselves and work hard. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians, the third chapter, verses 23 and 24, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." This is applying to our job situations, our work situations, and the context was bondservants at that particular time in Paul's day. But he does say in verse 23, whatever you do, right? So even as students, that's something that you do. Schooling, studying, testing, reading, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. For you serve the Lord Christ. These are principles that are being instilled in your heart now at this stage of life that will carry forward as you enter into the next stages, into the workforce, and even past the workforce, into retirement as well. You want to have a heart, a character that knows how to work. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, let's notice some other words of wisdom from the wise man. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19. Here's a principle. It says, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." So he's talking about two different lifestyles. One will bring cursing in life. You'll be stuck from side to side. But the other one, he says, it's like a going across the highway. Things begin to unfold as they should. Blessings will come your way. The man of understanding walks uprightly. The way of the upright is a highway. In chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty." In labor there is profit. That means you get something out of the very work itself. And it may not always be money. There's people that volunteer, and there is profit in that as well. They gain from that. And certainly that is true in regards to your schoolwork as well. There is a benefit. You're learning to learn. You're going to learn to grow. There will be a benefit from that, even though you may not make a money fee from that right now. It will bless you in the end. There'll be profit gained from that, even if it just the gain of knowledge and of wisdom. Now, we have to address this because there's going to be times where you're not going to want to, right? But I would suggest to you that hard work begins at the point that you don't want to do it. When you don't want to read that book, when you don't want to write that paper, when you don't want to do the last 20 math problems, that's at the point when you actually begin to learn what hard work means. And there is where there's life value. Because young folks, just look around. These folks that go to their jobs, do you think there's days where they don't want to? There's many days like that. But you put on the work clothes anyway, and you go. And so you learn some of those characteristics and skills now at your job, at school. Now, there also may be times where you're tempted to just do the bare minimum, to skate by. I want you to avoid that. Try not to do that. Try to not just complete the task, but understand the task. And there's a difference, isn't there? That's the reason why the math teacher says, show your work, right? They're not just interested in the answer. They want to know, how did you arrive at that answer? Do you understand the process it took to get there? What's it trying to teach you? Actually seek to learn that. Now again, you might say, yeah, right. I just got to get the grade. I want to get it done. And I'll be honest, I remember there's times I skated by in school as well too. And I've learned that wasn't pleasing to God. That's not what God had me to do. I had to mature and learn. Because if that's how you treat your work, at school now, it will become a part of your character and how you'll treat your work later in the future. And that could lead to some financial problems. That could lead to you being the one that's let go first because you have the reputation of just kind of doing the bare minimum to skate by. There may be times that you're tempted to cheat. Don't. Even if you're never caught, you'll regret it later in life. You'll remember those times that you did that. But it's also possible that you will get caught. And then what's that going to say about you and your character? You didn't work hard. You tried to steal off the work of another. You'll gain that reputation as a cheat. And there's times where my kids shared with they saw some of their friends cheating, you know. I shouldn't do that. I'll repent of it later. You know, that's the attitude that some will have, thinking very frivolously about it. Listen, if you cheat now, you'll cheat later and you'll cheat greater. Don't get that into your character. You know, again, if cheating is stealing off the work of another, then later on in life, when you actually steal from somebody, that can lead to a greater punishment like landing in jail. Instead, work hard and let the rest take care of itself. Listen, children, listen. I may not always express this to my kids, but listen, if you got a C, honestly, versus an A, cheating, I would be much happier with the C. Even though, again, they would probably tell you, Dad's not telling the truth up there. But it's true, it's true. I don't want you to be dishonest. That will definitely put pains in your character to come. Well, what else is important to know as you go back to school? Well, how about showing kindness? In Galatians chapter 5, there in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness." That's something that God would have us to develop in our character, to be a kind person. To be the Good Samaritan that's read about in Luke chapter 10. You can apply that at school, the ones that are kind of being left behind or left to the side of the road, right? Forgotten by others. That you be that Good Samaritan. You stop and you help them along the journey. You all might recall the story I've shared a couple of times that I've always... It was one that brought me shame because as a youth in school, I remember there was one kid that had a disability and I was so shocked by it when I found out about it that I distanced myself from him to my shame and I turned away from being his friend. And those are moments that you look back on with regret. Why wasn't I the Good Samaritan? Why wasn't I the one that would try to be his friend? And you think about the pressure that you might have had from other friends at school, and that might be some of the reasons. We all face these kind of moments where we're questioning, what do we do? Do I do what others would want me to do, or should I do the right thing? Well, I also have another story, another one in childhood, and this friend's name was Darren, and this time I actually did the right thing. Darren was one that had an obvious disability. He had a hole in his neck because at one time there used to be a feeding tube there, and that's how he was fed as a child. Later on, that was moved to his stomach, and his mom would hook a syringe to that tube and feed him through that. He was different, and it was strange. But we were good friends and friends for a long time across the street from where I lived. We need to think about people like that because we live in an increasingly unkind world where bullying takes place, and it often takes place in more than just one form, right? You'll see kids teased and tossed and assaulted and violated, often provoked for absolutely no reason at all. Now, in my day and age, it would just happen between the hours of 8 to 3, right? But in the age of technology, sometimes it's not getting started until after 3. Around the 24-hour clock, sometimes there's cyberbullying that takes place. It's a real thing. And it has led, sadly, I've heard some of the horror stories, it's led to a lot of teen suicide because of what is said about them online. what is posted about them, pictures or fake pictures or AI-generated pictures, images about them online, and they are so hurt by those. And again, if young folks are on social media, I would encourage them, don't be on that, first off. But if you are, you don't have to reply to every message. You don't have to reply to every text. You don't have to reply to every post. You don't have to see every picture that's out there. Can you believe what you're hearing? I know that's so counterintuitive, but you have to understand, you are a real living human being. You don't live in the cyber realm, right? At least not yet, thankfully, right? Hopefully that's not going to ever take place. But a lot of folks operate their lives as if it does. How many likes did I get? How many comments did I get? How many people are following me? Take a deep breath and thank God that you're a human being, that you live in this real world, and you don't have to be judged by all those that are saying those things out there. So show kindness, and show kindness when someone maybe is unkind to you. That also is hard for young folks as well, and it's hard for adults as well, if I might say. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, look here in Romans 12, verse 18. Romans 12, 18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. This is also what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, there in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verse 39. Jesus says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, I want to tell you, the reason why Jesus says this is because it's not inherent to do that. It doesn't come naturally. When you're slapped on the right cheek, to then turn the other. But this is what Jesus is asking of us. There in verse 43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And so he's asking us to go against the grain of the way we might feel when insulted or being ridiculed or teased by our enemies, but rather to show kindness to them. You don't have to go their way. You can show them a better way, right? Even when they're cruel and ugly, you be kind and good and beautiful, and you're going to sleep better because of that. Imagine each time that they seek to bully you that you just say nice words to them instead. I tell you, in time, it's going to ruin their day. They're going to tease you at first for doing that. Are you just a goody-goody? It's a Bible-thumping Christian, right? They're going to tease you at first, but eventually they're going to leave you be, right? Because let me tell you, they're looking for a fight. They're looking for a rise out of someone, a pushback. They want drama, and that's why they say those things. So don't give them the satisfaction. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23, so you can't think that any of this stuff is new. It's as old as the Bible. And in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23, that first line says, to do evil is like sport to a fool. You see, it's just like a game. It's their recreation. They get a rise out of it. They enjoy that drama. It's like sports to them. But you know, you have to have two to play the game. Don't play. Remember the golden rule. Right? That should be simple. Matthew 7:12. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also unto them. See, that's a proactive rule. Do you want anyone to tease you or belittle you or to hurt you? No, you would never want that. So you can't do that to them, right? You'd want them to be kind to you and genuine and true and honest to you, right? So whatever you want men to do to you, Jesus commands you do that to them. You proactively be that kind of person. Whatever you want them to say to you, you say that. However you want them to be to you, you be that. Show kindness. This is exactly what Jesus did, right? He did it for all of his enemies that nailed him to a cross. And we could all do better with being kind to those who are unkind. But another thing to remember is to beware of pride. That often makes its manifestation in school as popularity, trying to rise to the ranks of being the coolest in the school. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 there, verse 33, Paul gave this warning that transcends times. He says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or good morals." Again, I remember this like it was yesterday, this childhood pride. Oh, to be among the popular, or associated with the popular. And the popular circle is usually made up of the attractive and the athletic and the funny, right? And all those in that particular circle. And if you can just be friends with even some of their friends, and maybe that's your ticket in to being associated with them and popular as well. I'm here to tell you, it's all vanity and smoke and mirrors, meaning it is without true value. Now, it's so hard to convince a child that, and I'm not sure I would have been convinced either in that particular stage of life, but what I want you to see is that this is ungodly pride that you're experiencing, and Satan is looking to take you away with it. Because if you really are searching after that, seeking after that, you might be tempted to do some of the things that they do that are ungodly and sinful practices. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, we often go to the book of Proverbs when dealing with children, because it was often a wise man speaking to his son, saying, "My son," or "my children." In Proverbs 16, 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And then in Proverbs chapter 1, here you see the wise man speak to his children. In verse 8, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." What is one of the first things he instructs them about? Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent if they say, 'Come with us.'" Right? Again, that's the pride of popularity. Come on, you can be with us if you do these kinds of things, right? And he even says in verse 14, they'll say, "Cast your lot among us. So let's have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from the path, for the feet run to evil." Just look at the direction that their feet are going. You don't want to be on that path, is what he's saying. And if this is your desire, then you'll seek to gain it at increasingly higher and higher costs. If you value it, it will tempt you. It's one reason why there may be young folks in the Lord's body that grew up hearing about, you know, you shouldn't go to the dance, you shouldn't go to the prom, but all of a sudden, as they get to that age and stage of life, that pressure to be among the cool, to be recognized, or to be just not seen as so weird, becomes so strong that they think, maybe I should walk with them in their way. Allow my feet to go the direction that their feet go. Or maybe it's that cute boy or the cute girl that finally asks you, and you say, "Oh, maybe I can do it, you know, because I really would like to spend time with them." Pride goes before a fall. If sinners entice you, he says, don't go their way. But that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to, again, even if it's just by peer pressure, if you can wear modest clothing, you'll be accepted among the popular girls. Pride goes before a fall. sometimes you're asked to go to certain parties in time, especially as you get older. Those parties more increasingly likely to have alcohol at them. Pride goes before a fall. You can't care about that particular circle. Sin often is what reigns there. You know, Jesus and the apostles, they weren't in that circle. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, those were kind of the go-to guys of the day. Jesus didn't allow that to be what swayed him in life. And you have to be as Jesus was, to not value it, to not let pride win. Don't let it charge you at a higher and higher price so that you lose your soul over it. Like I'm going to tell you, when you get older, you realize, I'm right, none of that stuff mattered. I graduated in 1995 from high school. And in 2005, I went to my 10-year reunion. It was nice to see everybody again 10 years later. And nobody had this is the cool, popular status kind of thing going. It didn't mean anything. We were all adults at that stage. And when the 2015 reunion came around, I didn't actually go to that or the 2025 one, but I did look at the reunion pictures, and you have to chuckle, you have to kind of laugh, right? Because everybody's older now. No one's cool looking anymore. I mean, again, it's just vanity. Those things that you thought were so important, you recognize aren't important at all. So beware of pride and popularity. Principle number four, share your faith. I realize not everyone's going to get it, but it is a light in a dark world that is shining if you allow it to shine. In John chapter 1, you think about Jesus coming into this world. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now listen to verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What's the idea? Not everyone's going to get you. Not everyone's going to understand why you say what you say and do what you do and believe what you believe. That's what darkness does. They don't comprehend it. So you're going to look odd and strange if you share your faith, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. You have the light. Don't be stingy with it. Grow in your faith. Share your faith and let it be a guiding light to those that are around you. Look here in verse 9, John 1. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so though the darkness didn't comprehend it, it was still a light that would shine in the world. You see John declare his faith in Jesus in verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus towards him, coming towards him, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so point people to the soul-saving Jesus Christ. This, like the principles before, can become a part of your character, can make it easier for you to talk to people as you age and get older and mature. It will also help you in times of temptation or doubt. You know, Jesus fought off the temptations of Satan in the wilderness when he was weak and malnourished by the phrase, "It is written. It is written. It is written again." So remember what you've learned from the Bible. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. And share that. There may be some that want you to believe that evolution is the reason we're here, not because of God, that we all came from a single cell amoeba. Say, no, I don't believe that. God made us man and woman. Genesis chapter 1. Now they're going to say, "Well, that's weird. No one believes that. No one serious in the scientific community believes something like that." And you can say so. Share your faith. Say what is true. And the more you share it, the more you believe it. temptation to maybe drink socially with friends. That goes away the more you share with them about what the Bible says about social drinking. That's a buzzkill to them. They don't want to hear that. And so those kind of invites go away because they're afraid they might get a lecture from you. See that? So sharing what you believe about the Scriptures will even help you in times of temptation for those things to stay away. Dancing. Now, that's a hard one for the girls and for the boys as well, too. But the girls in particular, they see it as pure and fun and free and romantic, kind of like a Disney movie. But the reality is you can cause a boy to stumble. You don't want to be a stumbling block, as boys often are wired in a different way, to see things in a different way. So don't just say, well, my mom and dad don't want us to, right? Say, well, God would not have me participate in that. That's the way you should answer those kinds of things. That's sharing your faith. You know what? And the temptations will keep coming. You know, one reason why we thought we'll go to this private school, FCA in Bowling Green, they didn't have those. They had formals. That was really nice. I liked that. They wouldn't have to face that temptation. But sadly, there's worldly families that attend there that didn't like how there's no school dance. So they hosted a dance, rented a hall, invited all of the school to that as well. Oh, and they don't have the dress code that FCA would have is either, and so the kids are allowed to wear strapless dresses and dresses that expose a lot of the body that should be covered. It's sad. I must say, I'm thankful that my Brandon Austin Penny, they don't have a desire to go to that. I'm thankful for that, and I pray that it stays that way. But it doesn't negate the fact that there's still pressure as their friends go and might ask, are you going? Right? Share your faith. No, we won't participate in that. And here's why. Sharing your faith will also inform others what the Bible teaches about particular things. Help them to learn the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, Paul says, I believed and therefore I spoke. Oh, that we might have that kind of attitude and heart as well. Again, as you get older, it gets a little bit harder, especially with friends that maybe are religious. They think they're doing the right thing, doing the good thing. But you have to share with them the truth. As you believe, also speak as well. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, I'm not saying that you got to railroad them or run them down or straight out condemn them right away, but think about the way to approach them. In Colossians 4, 6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So you still say the truth, but you can say it in a kind way. I've shared this example before, but I don't forget it. But it was a time when Brandon was younger, and the kids were talking in their group about how there's multiple ways and religions and gods, and Brandon replied, no, there's just one God and one church. And because he had said that, the kid told the teacher, and the teacher said, Brandon, now you go ahead and clip down the chart, you know, as it was kind of a misbehavior thing. And he shared that with me, and I said, well, Brandon, I'm proud of you for doing that. In my book, you clipped up the chart. That was sharing his faith. We need to have that zeal as well, adults. In Matthew chapter 18, Matthew the 18th chapter, there you see Jesus tell us, as he called a little child in the midst of them in verse 2, verse 3, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As children, they have a great blessing. You're young, you're moldable, humble and courageous, not yet burdened by the bags of life. You see things clearly, right and wrong very clearly, and you're not afraid to say so. And that's a blessing. Many of us older folks have become callous and hurt and burdened with life's baggage, and we see too many obstacles sometimes to clearly say what Jesus has clearly said. And that's our fault. And that's our doing. And we need to be more like you, willing to speak the truth plainly. Well, last for tonight, and maybe this should have been first, but that is to keep God first. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There are going to have many things come your way, and you're going to get busy. That's life. Life does get busy. You have to make time for God. You need to, or you're going to forget Him. You're going to leave Him behind. So make sure you're active frequently in prayer. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. There shouldn't be a day go by where you're not at least praying multiple times to God. You're going to need it as the school year comes. Make sure you're reading the Word of God as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul told Timothy to give attention to reading. Even the Apostle Paul, who is inspired, read. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 to bring the parchments and the books. So give attention to reading God's Word. Don't neglect that. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to be able to have the faith by which to share, because faith comes by hearing the Word. And that will pay dividends way past school. Because one day school will be over. And that's a weird feeling. When you're finally graduating, you're finally done. If you go to college, maybe when you're finally done with that and you graduate, that's a weird feeling. All you've known all your life is school. But you know what? One thing that will go with you is this. You need to always keep God first at whatever stage you find yourself in life. And you have your whole life ahead of you. But keeping God first will still be a part of that life. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. May these principles help you in this stage of life to work hard, to show kindness, beware of pride, share your faith, keep God first. And again, to this great audience that many of you have graduated many years ago, you say, I'm not going to school, but as I said earlier on, this could be called going back to work on Monday, right? You got to work hard, you got to show kindness there, beware of pride, share your faith, keep God first. It's still the same principles, isn't it? And those of you that maybe retired, right? It doesn't mean that you should then just sit on the couch all day. You still should work as well. Find some pursuits in life that keep you busy, that can also show kindness, beware of pride, show your faith, keep God first. It's still all the same. So whatever phase of life we find ourselves in, these are things that God would have us to remember and to make sure that we're working on. May God bless especially our youth as they go back to school this year. May God keep you safe. May God keep you strong. In times of weakness, may you lean on Him, and especially your family, and also the spiritual family here as well. God bless you in the year. It's hard to believe that my triplets are going to be juniors this year. It has gone way too fast. And so this may be the last back-to-school lesson they actually hear from me. I might have another one for Cody and Tanner down the line some more. But may God bless them and bless all of your kids as well. Enjoy the times. It goes by fast. But ultimately, our goal for them is not to get straight A's in life. I mean, that's a great thing. But it's so that they get to heaven when life is over. That's the only place that we get to be together for forever. This life is short, but there is forever. And so let's instill these principles in them that they might develop the Christian faith that they ought to have to be pleasing to God. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, that's where it all begins. You've got to repent and be baptized. Have your sins washed away. That's where you start walking with God. And if you haven't done that, you can do that tonight. If you are God's child, but you've fallen away, fallen short, grown distant, maybe in some of these principles that we shared, but you turn around and start living for Him as you ought. And if we can offer prayer for you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing? and free it is for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its spring. 'Tis